Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast. If you use a smart speaker, you can always ask Alexa to enable the SOS radio skill.
So many people think about religion as rules and regulations, but we know it's really about freedom because we really read what Jesus taught, right? I'm Scott on SWS Radio. We're talking with Adam Weber today at SWS Radio. He's the lead pastor of Embrace Church out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and also has campuses in the Minnesota area. How are you today, Adam?
Scott, it's a huge honor to be on with you. I'm doing fantastic on this end. Life really can't be much better.
You know, it's interesting when we dig into the Bible, a lot of times people think the God of the Old Testament is different than the way God's described in the New Testament. But it's different because the Old Testament deals with law, and then the New Testament deals with how Jesus actually fulfills all of that, right?
It does. And in Jesus, if there was any misunderstanding about who God is and how do we understand who God is, God becomes flesh. And we see that so clearly in Jesus and who he is. And we're told early on in one of the Gospels that Jesus is full of grace and also full of truth. Not half and half, but 100 and 100. And in Jesus, we see the beautiful balance of those two things. Really the beautiful fullness of those two things and just who God is and what his heart looks like in and through Jesus.
It's so interesting because a lot of times we think about our faith and we think about the rules. We think about the laws that are in the Old Testament. But when we get to know Jesus, we realize there's more about love and grace and the unfolding of the character of God that maybe we missed the first time around. We're talking with Adam Weber today at SWS Radio, and he's an author. He's a pastor. He actually has a new book called Love Has a Name. It's about learning to love the different and difficult and everybody else. But Adam, when Jesus talks about loving God and loving others, he sort of tees that up like this is the greatest commandment.
It is. And at that time, what had happened is they had overcomplicated it a whole bunch of ways. They took a few laws from the Old Testament and then made a whole bunch of laws. And it was all about following the rules and don't doing that and doing this. And Jesus is like, I'm going to make it really, really simple. Do these two things really, really well, and everything else will fall into place. Really, all those rules and laws can be summed up in these two things. Just love me and love others. And as humans, we don't like that answer a lot of times. It's like, no, I want to make it complicated. I want to know exactly what the rules are. And Jesus is like, no, instead of following the bunch of rules, hey, why don't you follow me? And then because you love me and because you stay close to me, then you'll begin to, without even know it, follow all the rules per se. But really, it starts with a relationship with me, Jesus. Do that, and everything about you will change. And again, you'll be following all the rules without even knowing it. And anytime we try to change it into following a bunch of rules, it's exhausting. Anytime we try to do it on our own, it just becomes this thing that we have to lug around. And it's like, well, I screwed up today. And we struggle either with insecurity and feeling like we're shameful, horrible people, or if we think we're really good at following the rules, we struggle with pride. And we begin to look at others and we're like, gosh, they're not following the rules as good as I am. And thank God I'm not like them. And Jesus is like, no, both of those things, you missed the point. Love me. And because you love me, I will change your heart and you'll begin to love the people around you.
It's so weird how we get pulled into this pendulum of culture, right? I'm Scott on SWS Radio. We're talking with Adam Weber, and he's a pastor, and he's an author from South Dakota, Minnesota. I'll tell you what, Adam, when we think about like loving God and loving people, we either get self-righteous or we just focus on grace, and people say, okay, you're too focused on one or the other. And really, when we understand who Jesus is, he's saying, no, it's a both-and sort of thing, and it's about me. It's not about you. And you actually wrote a book called Love is a Name, and it's about learning to love the different, the difficult, and everybody else. I mean, 2020 has been this whole year of civil unrest, and this never-ending pandemic, and virtual learning. And I don't think it's any coincidence that this comes out at a time when loving people is strange. It feels strange, doesn't it?
Oh, loving people feels strange, and it goes against the way that we're wired. Everything in us, our flesh is what it says in the Bible, goes against wanting to love other people. We naturally love people who love us. We naturally want to love somebody who's already loved us. And it's like, no, Jesus is like, anybody who can love somebody who loves them, I want you to love every person, including even your enemies. And you mentioned grace and truth. That's such an important thing. I think each of us, we tend to lean one way or the other. We're kind of that truth person that prides ourselves on saying how it is, and we kind of enjoy pointing out things in other people. So maybe we're a truth person. Others of us are grace people, and people love to seek us out when they've made a mistake because we know we're not going to say anything but, oh, it's okay, it's good. And so both of those things, again, we need both to be held in tension, to have a love that looks like Jesus. We need both grace and truth. And so what I always encourage somebody is to kind of figure out, what is your natural leaning? I know for me, I naturally lean towards grace. And so sometimes I struggle to say the hard truth when it's like, hey, that's not okay. Like, hey, I love you, man. Like, we're close friends. And I love you enough to say, like, hey, I think you might need to go see a counselor and talk about that. So I'm a grace person, and so I need to really rely on God in those moments. Like, hey, would you speak truth into my life first? And then would you help me to speak up when I need to speak up? Well, other people, they lean on the truth side. And in this time, it's easy. I feel like we have a bunch of so-called truth tellers who are just kind of yelling. It feels like our culture and world and even Christians are just yelling at everybody right now. And it's like, maybe we just need to be slow to speak and lean towards grace if we're that truth person, because we need both. And Jesus was the fullness of both. And because he was both, everybody was drawn to him. The only people who struggled with him were the religious, uptight Pharisees. Otherwise, everybody, tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, you know, religious, faithful, religious people, all of those people just wanted to be close to Jesus because he was full of grace and truth. He was so graceful that even though their lives were imperfect, they just wanted to be close to him. And he was so full of truth that they knew that he was doing something different. And they were just like, I want something different with my life. And I know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so I'm going to follow him. He was both. And when we have both in our life, everybody, even people who are atheists, will say, can you tell me about the Jesus that you follow? Because you are so different.
Seeing so much violence and civil unrest and just conflict with the elections in our world today can really drive us down into a place of discouragement. And we're actually talking about how we love people and how we love through the difficult and how we embrace grace and truth at the same time, but we do it with a heart for love, right? We're talking with Adam Weber today at S-Wiss Radio. And this place we live, it's a broken world, and we're broken people, and we're imperfect. But Jesus doesn't tell us to specifically change the world by ourselves. He asks us to make a difference where we can, like in our own circle. And he gives us an area of influence. What kind of guidance can you give to those who are wanting to make a difference but just feel like they're burnt out, they're stressed out, their grind isn't making much purpose?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think that's so important. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. You might want to find out if you first are loving yourself. I mean, just like, am I caring for my own soul? Am I having a quiet time with Jesus? Am I relying on him throughout the day? Because if we are not being poured into, we love because he first loved us, is what John tells us. And so if we're not fostering that relationship with Jesus, then we're doing it all on our own. And there's only so long that you can do it on your own. Instead, we are able to be connected to the source of all love, of all joy, of self-control, of peace and patience. And so when we're connected to him, that's the only way that we're able to pour out on others. And so I would just encourage people, are you connecting with God? Are you just sitting and being still with him and making sure that your cup is full so that you're able to love other people in your life? That'd be the first thing. The second thing I would say is there's something wonderful that happens when we begin to love others. When we love others with no strings attached, there's not this expectation that I did something nice, so you better be doing something nice, or I helped you with a work sale, like seal a deal, so you better help me. That's not love. That's an obligation to the other person. But when we truly love, John tells us that when we love one another, his love is made perfect within us. And so the other person that's receiving the love from us, they see Jesus inside of us, which is amazing to someone like myself who's so far from perfect. I'm like, people can see Jesus in me. But also what that means is when we love one another, God's love is made perfect within us to ourselves as well. And that's why it feels so good when we unconditionally love somebody, because his love is made perfect within us. And I've always wondered, why does it feel so good when I genuinely love someone with no strings attached? Because in those moments, my heart is never closer to the heart of Jesus. And so when we truly love, again, with no expectations, if you love with expectations, it's exhausting. You got a scorecard in one hand, you know, you got your Twitter account in the next waiting to blast somebody. But when you just love somebody, it just, your heart is so close to Jesus in that moment that his love is made perfect within you.
We're talking with Adam Weber today at Eswiss Radio, and he's a pastor and an author. And you wrote a book that's made up of about 27 different stories of random people that God brought into your path that actually made a difference in your life by the way that you loved them. And what kind of lessons did you take from those interactions, Adam?
There were so many lessons. It was pretty cool to think about the random people in my life. Some of them are close friends. Others are people that I literally met for roughly 5 minutes. And yet each of them showed me different aspects of who love is. And love is ultimately Jesus. But one of those people is a guy named Antonio. And Antonio is a 21-year-old in my church who kind of has the thinking capacity right around a 10 or 11-year-old. And the first time I met Antonio, I was preaching. And I was talking about something heavy like cancer or divorce. And I heard somebody laughing in the sanctuary. I'm like, oh my gosh, who's laughing? That's kind of weird. And I can preach through anything. I mean, you could throw tomatoes at me, have a screaming child, and I'd be fine, but just threw me off. And so I kind of paused, and then I regained myself. The next week, I was talking about something heavy again. Someone started laughing again. I was talking about like miscarriage, and someone started laughing. And I'm like, gosh, that just really feels weird. And so afterwards, I grabbed our campus pastor, and I said, hey, somebody is laughing when I'm saying stuff. I don't know if they're misunderstanding me. And he's like, let me introduce you to somebody. I come in the entryway. And I see this young man who is shaking. He's so excited to meet somebody. I'm like, is Justin Bieber behind me or something? And I walk up and the pastor says, this is Antonio. And I'm like, Antonio, so nice to meet you. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, dude. And I said, you attend this church? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, my name's Adam. And I'm so excited to meet you. And he's like, me too. I mean, he just was great. He was so excited. And I just in that moment, I can't remember another time that I felt so loved. He just loved me extravagantly. And week after week, I found myself looking forward to meeting Antonio. Now, the truth is we had a couple of people in our church every so often who would kind of grumble and complain about Antonio. They're like, hey, he's kind of distracting to the message. Like, he laughs when he shouldn't, and it's kind of awkward for people. Like, is there a way to kind of tell him to be quiet? Well, in the Bible, there was a woman who came to Jesus. Jesus was hanging out with a Pharisee, and they were eating a meal together when this woman, who we're told she was a certain immoral woman, it's most likely she was a prostitute, she came up and she began to pour oil all over Jesus. And when this is happening, the Pharisee is like, can we just get her out of the way? Like, this is important stuff. I'm a Pharisee, and this is Jesus. Can we just tell this woman? At the time, the woman would have had no worth. And specifically as a prostitute, she would have even had less than that. So he would have seen her as just a piece of trash. Like, can we just tell her to kind of mind her own business? Like, she's really doing this disgraceful thing. Can we just tell her to get away? And Jesus says, actually, what she's doing is the beautiful thing. In my eyes, basically what he says is, and she's the VIP in my eyes. Going back to Antonio, again, in those moments that I've had with him, I just feel so loved by him. And he showed me that love adores extravagantly, just like the woman offering this beautiful gift of perfume to Jesus. And oftentimes I've thought with Antonio, some people want to quiet him, but every time he's with us, I can't help but think maybe he's the preacher that day, and I just get to sit around and we all get to hear from him. And he may not seem like the person that you'd look to hear from God. And yet I think if Jesus joined us physically in the flesh, he'd maybe say hello to me and say hi to some other people. But the first person he'd want to sit with and be with is Antonio. And Antonio has taught me what it looks like to love somebody. When I'm with Antonio, he's not scanning the room for the person who's more important than me. He's not checking his Instagram account. Instead, he's like just focused fully on me. And I feel so loved.
We're talking to Adam Weber today at Eswiss Radio. His new book's called Love Has a Name, Learning to Love the Different, the Difficult, and Everyone Else. Thanks for spending some time with us today, Adam.
Oh, such a huge gift. Thank you so much for the work you're doing and the ways that God is using you.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.